Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back with, well, technically our first episode of our newly named, seconds ago, Side Topics podcast. Andrew Porter here with Tom Kelly, Dave Breitmeyer, and Bill Kornfeld. Side Topics, obviously a little play off of the WIP Side Topics, because we're going to be talking about everything but sports here, primarily TV, as we've done the Game of Thrones. We're done with Game of Thrones. We've all watched Chernobyl, a five-episode, basically a five-hour miniseries HBO production, which was ranked the highest-rated show ever currently on IMDb at 9.7. So it's getting vast, excellent reviews, ton of good reaction. I'll start and just say, like, I loved it. I didn't know much about the story, so, like, I knew what it was, but it was, like, a very informative show and done in a very entertaining way. The acting was great. The writing was great. Like, what was real versus what was not, we can get into, but I thought it was well done from start to finish, the finale being excellent. Just really, like, exhilarating straight from the start to the end. There was really no slow moments, maybe one episode like we talked about, but I thought it was like a 9 out of 10.
Yep. It was weird how they started it with the main character dying, and they did talk about that.
Come on, really loud.
Oh, wait, let me pop right, yeah, there we go. Enough. All right, let's go. There we go.
I like how they started it with the main character dying. It actually helped everyone who watched Game of Thrones and has been talking about the end of Game of Thrones for so long. I think it was a good break of something that was short, something that you didn't have to think about too much, something that you knew the ending to. And I thought that it was a good little miniseries to watch that you didn't have to get too invested in. You didn't have to learn the history of this entire world. It was something that happened. And I thought that was it's a good thing to watch if you are fatigued after watching Game of Thrones.
And that was why it was such a perfect show, almost, because we had just invested 8.5 years of this world, this universe in Game of Thrones, and now we were just thrown into a new real life story, and it was in and out, and then we were done with it, and it was written really well, and they made nuclear physics entertainment and entertaining and understandable.
Yeah,
you know how hard it is to understand nuclear physics? Yeah. Like,
that's actually a good point. It was like the complete opposite of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did that intentionally, but like, it was aired immediately after. It was five episodes versus 70, whatever.
Yeah.
It was fake versus reality. It was like the complete opposite.
Yeah, I have this fantasy that there was a meeting and they're like, all right, since everyone's mad at Game of Thrones, we're going to kill the main character off in the beginning and just get it over with. Obviously, that probably didn't happen because it was probably filmed ahead of time. Yeah. But I have this like weird like vision of these guys sitting in an office going, because of Game of Thrones, we're going to kill the main character off, and everyone's just going to relax for the rest of the miniseries.
They could have done that. I mean, they could have just quickly edited that and made that the start instead of the end. Or
maybe.
Yeah. TK, what do you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I think that's it's probably where a lot of TV is going, especially on HBO, like, because it is so hard to replicate a show like Game of Thrones, and it takes so long to make a show like that. Like, Westworld.
Yeah. It's impossible.
They've had a new season, like, what, once every year and a half?
It was a year and a half. Like, this one, I think the season three is 2020 and early 2020. So, it's around a year and a half, almost 18 months, 19 months.
Right. And I feel like these mini series are easy to kind of churn out. I thought it was good. I maybe not as enthusiastic as you guys as a whole. I thought the last one was really good. And I did think the acting was great. Like, I think it's a challenge in a matter of five episodes to have characters that you really care what happens to them. And there weren't a ton, but like the guy who played Dyatlov was great. He was a great villain.
I have actually had that
Paul
guy.
Ritter.
Yeah, Paul Ritter. Thank you, Porter.
Jared Harris was the main character.
Jared Harris is one of those guys. Yeah, Jared Harris is who played Legasov, he's that guy you just kind of see pop up in a show, and you go, I know this guy. I've seen him in other
shows.
You've
seen his face
he's
a million
really
times.
Good, and I don't know where else to explain it other than I know who he is, and he's a really good actor, so I'm invested.
Yeah, halfway through the first episode, I had to pause it and go to IMDb.
Yeah. And obviously
I've seen
had,
this guy's face.
And obviously, you had Stellan Skarsgård, who is just in everything. His sons are in everything. Like, he's all over Hollywood. He's obviously notable for, I guess, people that are probably listening to this pod. Known for the Thor franchise. He was in that.
He was the dickhead director in Entourage, too.
And Entourage, that's right. Yeah. I keep forgetting. What was the firefighter movie?
Yeah.
That was a great show. We should do a recap on that.
It was cool to see. Like, in five episodes, they developed that relationship, too, between those two.
That
guys,
was the best relationship. Well done, that was the best relationship, just seeing how Skarsgård's character just, like, was this, like, I don't, for lack of a better term, brainwashed Soviet government official that's just like, no, the government's always right. The government can do no wrong. And then he gets to Chernobyl and he's like, oh no, this is totally F. Like, this is way worse than we could have ever imagined.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes is when he finally loses it, because he's the one telling Jared Harris that, you know, this is the way we have to act. We are Soviets. You know, he's the party guy. And when he finally loses it and just starts screaming into a phone and bashing it against the wall, and I don't give a bleep. Yeah. Who's listening? I don't give a bleep if Gorbachev is listening. We need this right now.
Yeah.
And then he bashes the phone, and you feel, like, at that point, you feel him just completely, like, I'm done with this. Like, and I thought that was a very...
And on the other side of that...
Very good scene.
On the other side of that, when Legasov is at the bar, at the hotel, I think it was, in episode 2 or 3, he's getting a shot of... He's getting a drink of vodka, and they had just come from a meeting where how bad this really was, because they were coming up with a plan, and there's just two normal people sitting there, and goes, so you're with the government or whoever it was? And he goes, yeah, I'm helping out. And they go, do we have anything to worry about? And he says, no. Like, right. And on that, on the other side of Skarsgård character, he realizes that now he's involved. He's involved. Right.
In he's no lie. Longer a scientist.
Yeah. He's lying to these people to just not cause a panic.
Yeah, it was.
I think Jared Harris will win an Emmy for this.
I think he will,
or at least maybe not win, but he'll be nominated.
Yeah,
I think what I like the most is through the first four episodes, they like you obviously from the beginning you know what happens.
Yeah,
but how they kept it, you know, kind of all off screen until that final episode, and as they're explaining it in the trial, they're doing the flashes to
that was a
the
great
moments
directional choice.
When the explosion happened, I like that better than just doing that in the first episode.
It was very well
and,
done.
Yeah, yeah, not over explaining.
The first episode opened up with the one character I think we all were kind of like not the biggest fan of, the woman Lidmalia, who was the wife of the firefighter who goes out there. The first episode opens up with you just seeing the Chernobyl power plant in the background, and it explodes, and then you feel the power shock. I guess it would be called a power shock. It hit their house, and they're like, what the hell just happened? And you start to see that glow. And Lidmalia's character, who is based on a real character, or a real person, who's, I think...
Which I was surprised. I thought she
shocking.
Would be, like the scientist woman would be a bunch of people who had bad things happen. Bad things happen to them, but they're all happening to this woman. But no, she was, you know, all of that did happen to her. Which
I think it was a decent portrayal. Her portrayal just didn't hit the mark for me. Like, I get what she was, what the directors were trying to do in her development, and just like going through these hospital wings, trying to find her husband. After the accident and putting out the fire.
It was just another perspective.
She was an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was
don't go touch the radioactive guy.
But I think
you're pregnant with a kid.
She was supposed to be an idiot.
Yeah. I think that was the thing, because, like, I think episode 3's whole purpose was... Because
everyone is smart. Right?
Yeah, but not everyone can be smart as you, TK.
But you only know how bad that radioactivity was
until
Jared Harris told you, and now you know, and now you think she's an idiot.
You guys couldn't deduce that. They were probably pretty dangerous to be around, and their skin's falling off, and they're like burning from the inside out.
One, that was her husband, and then you could obviously also just say, well, this is just a containing in his own body. Like, it's not contagious in any way. Obviously, we know it is, but to these characters' perspectives, she's just comforting her husband on his deathbed.
Because
she accepted that he was going to die.
It was an example of how it could spread, too. Like, and maybe how it spread.
Which was the shocking part, because I think it was in episode 4, which was one of the highlights of episode 4, is when the woman gives birth, the baby's only alive, her daughter's only alive for four hours because she absorbed all the radiation. She saved her mother's life. Sadly, at the cost of her own. And that was what that...
And you didn't know that was going to happen, because you don't know how it works, and neither does she.
Well, maybe it wouldn't have spread if people weren't so stupid going and touching infected people.
No, but that's the point of the thing, is that, things got worse because people weren't paying attention.
Like, all the doctors were telling her to stay away. What else do you need to hear?
I mean, obviously the doctors were the people that were playing cautious, and they are what you are doing, TK, and it's just like, if you see a person's skin being melted off, don't touch them.
Exactly.
Like, so I get it, but I think normal. When do you honestly listen to? Obviously, this is a compartmentalizing it to the 10th degree. Like, do you ever actually, when you go to a doctor, do you listen to them 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10? On their advice?
I don't normally go to a doctor.
Well, there you go.
I'm not going to visit my wife after she was in a horrible nuclear accident.
You're not going to visit her?
Right.
You can't bleep this part out here.
Really married.
I'm married. if somebody close to me is like in a nuclear accident, you know, I'm going to feel bad. Touch them and hug them and kiss their hand. If I, you know, it's going to kill me. That's
right.
Stupid.
Let's get his wife on the line.
I think
we'll see
how she feels about this.
I got myself in some hot water, I think.
You're not going to have a good time.
I would prefer to have been in that.
She obviously loves her husband way more than you love your wife.
That's
it's clear.
But the most ridiculous part to TK's point is when she's initially looking for a husband and she finds out he's in Moscow and she runs to Moscow, and the first doctor she meets is, I'll let you see him, but are you pregnant? And she goes, no. And you see her turn, and she immediately like looks back like, oh God, I hope she doesn't really know.
She wanted to see him at all costs. How do we know what's true and what's not at that point? Yeah.
Well, it was indicated that she was pregnant in the very first scene.
She obviously was pregnant in real life, and like, we don't know what the exact conversations were, but like, you know, people do dumb things for love. Isn't that a line?
Yeah, that is the line.
Jamie Lannister.
There you go.
Yeah, I just thought her character just didn't hit.
No,
as
I agree.
Well,
it wasn't like
compared to
it
everyone.
It was just
else.
Like a side topic for.
It was to show you what happened and show you
her character.
Another
perspective.
People on. Yeah,
just like the animal scene, which we can get to. That was another perspective, hit that so hard. They wanted you to be like emotionally distraught. Like my fiance was like. Miserable watching that.
Yeah,
episode.
And it was slow and
so
it just,
unnecessary.
Yeah, that episode could have been cut.
This in the pre-show. This show really could have cut down to 4 episodes and taking bits and pieces of that 4th episode and throwing them into even the 2nd and 3rd episodes and then just expending those to 1 hour 15 if you had to. I did call me a bad person. I don't care. I chuckled a little bit when they were dumping all the animals, and it's clear as day that they're all stuffed animals. Like they didn't put that much effort into like making effects to portray dead animals, and I don't blame them. But seeing just all these stuffed animals,
I wasn't looking directly at it.
Yeah, you're
so,
a bad person. Yeah,
that's fine.
You're gonna get the PETA people.
PETA. I looked at that episode as well, and it was just a portrayal of to what lengths they were had extended themselves to stopping this. Spread of radiation.
Regular
they had
kids
they had expend used the expense of all of their military personnel, and they were using just a kid off the street when he said that when he's asked by the
and how mentally distraught those three guys were. Mm-hmm. Like even the leader was they were so
similar to the
up.
Coal miners in episode 3 when you get the coal miners in there who are like these just
the coal miners were awesome.
They were hard.
I love those guys.
I think in the behind the scenes the directors and the writers were just like these were the hardest men in Soviet Russia. Like they were not to be effed with and they didn't care about anything. And they didn't. The guy that I don't remember who was the leader of that coal miner. I don't even think we got his name, but
yeah,
he was just—he was a perfect like.
That was
depiction.
A good scene in the room too, when they were talking to Legasov.
By the way,
he was like, "Do these things work? Well, if they did, you'd be wearing
them." Yeah,
so.
that was a perfect rebuttal.
I love when they
rebuttal.
Came out and they all kept hitting the guy.
Now you minister of coal.
Yeah, he's the minister of coal.
By the way, one of the coal miners, me and Bill, I think I counted 5.
Yeah,
the Friends characters was Lord Commander Mormont was one of the
Yeah, Mormont was in there.
A lot of tie-ins. We can't let it go.
One of the guys on the...
What, Three Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I can't.
No, forever on our minds.
We started by talking about comparing it
that's
to Game of Thrones.
Saying, yeah.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday when we were discussing about doing this pod. Like, it just is funny to us how HBO, once you're in this realm of HBO shows... You're reused on all of their stuff in some way. Not all of their stuff, but like,
yeah. So
you're the first guy to get the call or first
you're
actress.
On the list.
Yeah,
you're on the list to get that call. Like, hey, we're doing this show on the Chernobyl disaster. Yeah. And obviously, who's better than HBO's Game of Thrones actors? They're out of a job right now unless your name is Sophia Turner.
What did you guys think of the decision to, instead of give them Russian accents, to give every character English accents? It was clearly made just for Americans.
Yeah, it was just made for us. And, like, it's something that...
It was just weird.
It's weird, but you kind of get over it, because, like...
I got over it, and I got immersed into it until Gorbachev, who didn't look like Gorbachev.
No, he didn't. I looked up who... He's still alive, apparently.
Is he really?
I looked it up. I was curious, because I was...
And then he sat down, and he started talking in an American accent. The guy who symbolizes Russian... To me, Americans who were alive at that time, he sits down, so what are we going to do about this? I'm like, well, that's not what I was expecting. Yeah. The people who I didn't know, you know, not having Russian accents, I was okay with, but that was pretty jarring.
Was this like a big story at the time in the United States? Like in the United States,
was that's it? That's a good question.
I think I don't mean this as an insult, but I think Dave was the only one alive at the time.
I was 11.
People here.
Well, I was 11, but it was a huge story. But it shows you how much they tried to, and if you go back and watch, you can see how they tried to hide it, and they were able to hide it, which is probably amazing to think about now. I mean, the only thing you can really think about is North Korea. Like that's the equivalent. But North Korea is very small. This was half of the world was like North Korea. They blew up, and it could have been like an atom bomb, but we're not going to tell anybody until finally we find out. And it was a big part of the story was when the Americans know, like that was terrible.
I think it was episode one. I depicted as like the show as the episode that's just like it's the setting the stage. This is what happened. We're not going to tell you full details of how it happened yet. And then episode two was. Everyone knows now. That episode two led up to, I think it was a Swedish power plant that was like, why is there, what radiation are we picking up right now? And it was the Chernobyl one, which led to satellite pictures being taken by the Americans, and then the whole world knows. Like, this could have, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, this could have, like, destroyed the planet.
Well, I mean, of course, I learned a lot more by watching the show than, what I remember from when I was 11 years old. Yeah. But I think there was, from what I remember... is there was an expectation that we're not going to find out what really happened because it's the Russians and they don't tell us anything and they're definitely not going to do anything that's going to embarrass them because they were keeping up appearances.
Yeah, and I think the only real image footage that they had used was a Peter Jennings newscast, and he said what the Soviet story is, and then he went into what they were saying, which was obviously a lie or a half truth. Everything that they say that the best liars do the half truth thing, but like if you lie enough, you pick up on it and you realize that these people are just liars, and that's what Russia was at the time.
Yeah, and we weren't going to trust anything they told us.
Yeah, of course.
Kind of still like that now, isn't it?
Of course.
It really hasn't changed a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the station I produce for, 1210, like that's at least once a week we're talking about how we cannot still trust the Russians. Right. They are still run by a quasi-KGB and Putin, and so that...
By the way, how funny was it when he tripped on that rug the other week at the hockey game? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
He fell on his ass.
The first thing I thought was, well, the guy who laid out that rug is never going to be heard from again. And then he went on to score 11 goals because he's that good at hockey.
Wow. That's amazing.
But that's exactly what that – like, Russia is still – the Soviet Union without the label and all the territories.
But you didn't know how people live. You had like those apartments that they showed. We didn't know what they looked like.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what people were doing day to day. There was no pictures. There was nothing coming out of there, which is a lot different.
The only depiction I remember before this,
you weren't allowed to visit. You couldn't go to Moscow and hang out. And
the only depiction I remember of anything related to Chernobyl was actually if you guys played Xbox 360 was. In Modern Warfare, there's a level where you go to Chernobyl and you go to the building right outside Chernobyl. That was the only quote-unquote depiction I ever had before I watched
the
show.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, as a 30-year-old, I haven't really heard much about Chernobyl. It was pretty
it's
much
still
like
an
under
area.
Talked about.
Yeah, it's still like, an area that's closed off to quarantine.
That's why the show was so, like, I guess important, because it was like, wow, it was eye-opening. I was pretty ignorant to the situation. I was like, this is amazing.
And you get drawn into it by the cinematography. I mean, that's probably the way they looked. That's, you know, it was 80s Soviet Russia. That's what it's going to look like. And it's like nothing that, you know, any of us grew up in or saw.
I was like, how could this happen in 86? Like, this is you know, this is modern almost.
It was a real cool way to, like, to watch history. Like I was born about a year after that happened. And I like heard
God,
about
I'm the
Chernobyl,
baby of this
but
podcast.
I never knew exactly what happened or how it happened. So it was really interesting.
Exactly. I think most people approached it, or at least people in the millennials or like a little bit older, approached it the same way.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was really entertained by it, and I thought it was as accurate as it should be. I went and read a New Yorker article because it was the opposite of what I thought. It said, you know, what they got terribly wrong. So I wanted to see, what did they get terribly wrong?
Oh, on the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So some of the things, and I've read through it, and they're kind of like what you expect to be wrong because you're making a TV show. You're not writing a book. Like the first one was Lagashev, when he said, you know, if you don't take me to that, you know, if you don't fly over to that nuclear reactor or you don't tell me how a nuclear reactor works, I'm going to shoot you in the head.
That was Bort. Yeah. Boris said that. The agent, the government official.
Right.
Yeah.
And the writer's point in New Yorker was he wouldn't have done that. They don't just shoot people. Okay. I know. I think anyone who watched the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who watched the show understood that. You know, they're making it a little more dramatic.
Yeah, it was fairly accurate from what I read online. Like, they didn't really mess up egregiously. And, like, the final montage.
You also talked about the Emily Watson character, which they flat out say that.
Oh, yeah. That
she represents hundreds of.
I'm sure some morons on like anti-social justice warrior people were like, well, why is she depicted as a woman in the 80s in Soviet Russia?
Well, apparently Soviet Russia was pretty progressive, I read.
Oh, really?
That's why they had a lot of women doctors and women.
That's true. Yeah, there were. But
I'm saying.
Yeah, I just anticipated people to get upset that not only was this woman just representing 15 to 20 different scientists, but she was also a woman and get upset.
But you have to
do that.
It's a TV show. We're not going to want to watch a TV show about 100 scientists.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to.
Without women.
Yeah. We're not going to be able to pick that.
And the last one was the. I went through it. I highlighted a couple of things, but the Paul Ritter character, like the evil guy who
Dyatlov.
Yeah.
That guy was great. He's my favorite character.
Yeah.
He wasn't really like. There wasn't like one evil guy who messed everything up. Right. It was like. The structure of the system and everyone's kind of being an asshole.
Well, that's
not
what
just
happened.
There's not just one asshole. There's a lot of people being assholes, and that's what called it. I think we kind of knew that too. Yeah. Like, I think anyone who watches this is taking these liberties. Like, the fact that they're saying, you know, what they got terribly wrong, I think seemed like an overstatement.
Well, that's what I think happened. I think that culminated in the final episode during the trial. You have Lagatsov's character doing the incredible depiction of how nuclear physics works with just two colored sets of placards to figure out how.
Which is crazy writing, by the way. To get us to understand what happened.
Yeah.
Like, to get mad about rods. Ooh, the rods. You know, a bunch of people who aren't nuclear scientists that, you know, I think that was a great way of explaining it.
Yeah. And he's just like, well, you get up to this final point where they're supposed to push this button, AZ5, which is like the emergency release valve, and it sends the rods into the core to cool it down from the spike in temperature that it was experiencing. And then he's like, but it exploded because you people are cheap, directing his shot right at the Soviet Russian court system, which is insane in that time, because it's literally, you're asking like, hey, I'm blaming you at not just Dyatlov, who was to blame for this, but as Dave just said, it was entirely his fault because he was just following orders while being arrogant.
And that probably didn't happen, but that's the way you need to see it in a TV show. You don't need to see, you know, 100 people trying to make this point that the system is flawed and we need to fix it.
Boris
over
gets up.
Hours and hours and hours, you see one guy getting up and making a great speech like it's...
Who was also...
It's funny that you say that, because that was our main criticism of Game of Thrones that they didn't do that, because the Game of Thrones is like the one show where you do want hours and hours and hours
of explanation. Yeah.
But Chernobyl, it's different.
Chernobyl was different. I mean, Chernobyl obviously, like, Chernobyl completely also has an actual end. We know the actual end, like, of how this went down. Game of Thrones is just like, also the court system was run by Roose Bolton. Did you catch that?
He was creepy looking. He is creepy.
That actor has a very niche, like, just be the creepy evil guy or like the intimidating guy in any TV setting and you are good. I don't even remember his name, what his name actually is.
It's Roose Bolton now.
It doesn't matter.
Roose Bolton now.
But that's, and then, like, we're not going to just, he wouldn't have just shot him. And at the end of the show, when Legasov is in the, I guess the prison, I forget what it was.
The back room.
Yeah, the back room. The creepy back room. The head of the KGB agents, like, well, we can't shoot you. You were just in Vienna giving.
I think they don't even say who this guy is, or he doesn't even introduce himself. He's just the guy. He's just like the guy who's going to do the thing to you.
Right.
Like, that's what made it creepy about it. Did they tell you who he was?
I'm looking.
I mean, they really didn't say his
name.
I think on purpose they didn't tell you who he was. Like, he didn't tell.
Oh, here it is. I thought he had a name.
Victor Charkov.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, like, I remember, because he was in that first meeting, and I guess it was
a Charkov joke.
Yeah. I guess it was.
Just did.
Oh, did I?
I guess it was in that second episode where they first have, when you first see Gorbachev. He's there,
okay.
And they say, this is Victor, he's part of the
KGB. I thought he was just some mysterious guy. I like that better.
That would have portrayed very well, because that's all at that time, the KGB, which is basically the equivalent of our CIA, is depicted as just this, like, the secret organization that just makes people disappear, and that's the end of it.
Ooh. That's all I got.
I like how we had, we started off with cassette tapes. I mean,
that was very cool.
That got me into it.
Yeah, and just how he put everything on tape, and then he goes out and hides it in the little, like, alleyway for people to find, because we know obviously he ends up hanging himself, which was I think they said he hung himself 2 years and 1 minute to the day.
It was the
Chernobyl disaster,
yeah.
Which is obviously based on.
That's my favorite part of these.
Him hanging himself?
No. His miniseries is like this. It's when they show. No, not him, like, hanging himself.
Oh my god!
Oh, that part was so great.
But when they show the real people at the end, I don't know, for some reason that made that.
Yeah,
that's always my favorite part.
Well done.
Yeah,
like better than most.
That
I
was
would
like
say.
7 minutes. When you longer get to the end of any of them,
yeah,
I've
it
ever
needed
heard.
To be long.
Like, yeah, when you get to the end of something, you're like this, and you're like, oh, I got to see the guys.
Because you want
to
know.
Dyatlov lived, like, he served his 10 years of a labor camp, which
was ridiculous.
Not enough.
They did 10 years hard labor.
Well, that's the problem.
And then they were allowed to go back to their jobs.
Yeah, and I mean, they depicted that, like, they said.
But the way they even wrote that was awesome. It was like .. Like, they were like they were trolling in their subtitles, which was awesome.
Yeah, like, just the fact that I think what stuck, the two things that in those real images was the firefighter suits still clung to the ground of the hospitals, or of the hospital at Chernobyl, the day after the disaster, or the night that
and
the
recent footage of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's still burned into the flooring. And then the second one was that stuck out to me was the known number of deaths related to Chernobyl will never truly be known. But the number they guessed was like between 4,000 and 50,000.
The record number is only like 31.
31! Yeah. And it's still to this day.
Well, that's probably the people
Russia.
Who died that day.
Yeah.
When it
happened.
That's
what they're all.
But if you die 5 years later from cancer, they're not counting that. They're
not even gonna, and everyone that. I think it's thyroid cancer that everyone's going to be getting that or got in this because of this.
I will say I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this. I didn't know that it's still like a banned like territory.
Yeah, you were telling us you could get a tour.
I thought you could go on like a sightseeing tour or something through Chernobyl. I didn't know it was still
Go ahead, TK.
I didn't know. It was still
your wife will stay here and like she's already pissed at you. So
I'll feel
it's a secluded zone. There are people.
And then you'll go to the hospital.
Well, feel a lot differently when I'm in the hospital. Yeah. She doesn't come to visit.
No one's going to visit you, dude.
She won't.
Porter,
I'll tell her to listen to this podcast.
We'll do that.
It's an actual. It's blocked. I think it's blocked off by just
like government.
Government officials. But there are people that still live there.
In
the zone.
The people that never left.
Remember that woman? I think it was in episode 3. There's that old woman that that's milking the cow.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm not leaving. I was here for the revolution. I was here for the war. You can't tell me to leave. That was a depiction of real people. There's actual women and children and families that have not left that area. They're just naturally immune to the radiation. They've lost their teeth. They have like deformities and stuff. But
is this
they,
factual? Or
yeah.
Just
no, I Dawn Stenslin, our newswoman for the Rich Dillon
like,
show on the morning
the
show.
The Walking Dead in there?
Yeah, they're basically that. And they just are crazy. Living out the rest of their lives until they pass away.
So there's a sequel.
Yeah, there's a potential sequel of HBO wants to be
Well, you should go
real
Google like pictures of Chernobyl because it is like it's like it's like a zombie movie. It's it is creepy.
I went deep. Like I dove in deep on Wikipedia.
You can go
Chernobyl.
To Kiev and stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
my
Kiev is fine.
Kiev
well, not fine, but it's a spot you can
go
to.
There.
Like I to your point, Dave, I dove into like Wikipedia about like radiation poisoning and I those images are rough.
It's just that city, like
Pipiate.
That's the city.
See, that's what happened to me is I started watching it. My wife was away, and I had some soup my mom made in the freezer, some lentil soup, and I took it out, and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna watch something. My wife's away, so I'm gonna try Chernobyl. Started watching it. Everyone started puking. I took that lentil soup and put it right back in the freezer.
It's not a show you could eat.
I'm not having dinner tonight. How about that?
Yeah, it's not that kind of show. Especially when Dyatlov is like, I'm okay. It's everything's fine. I apologize for that. And he just collapses
everything
and they send him off.
Everything is not fine.
All of those men deserve. And even Legatsov said, like, these men deserve to die. Why? I'm about to kill myself. Why is Dyatlov about to walk free after 8 more years at the time of his death? It's crazy. But
yeah,
that was one of that was crazy when he has to tell Boris, but Boris is just kind of like he's going through when people are going to die, and Boris is kind of like, well, what about us?
5 years,
I think he died, right? Yeah. I don't remember.
Boris died. Boris died in 90,
right?
August of 90. He only lasted a few years. So he lasted 4 years. So within that 5-year frame of Legatsov said, So I think this was one of probably. I hope this is what HBO needs to focus on. Like, I know they're making the Thrones prequel with the Long Night, but like,
I'm excited for that.
But at the same time, like, I enjoy these. I'm in, I'm out, and then I can go 5 hours, 5.5 hours, and I'm done.
I thought it was good. I guess I didn't think it was quite as good as you guys did, but I liked it.
It's a good change of pace. They still do like their big series, you know.
They have, they still have the Big Little Lies, and they have Westworld coming next year.
It has been hard to fill the void of like. Just because of the anticipation every week, Game of Thrones.
I mean, we're never going to. That'll never happen again, I don't
think. And
it's
a slow sports time. It's
just, NBA Finals and
Stanley
Cup Final.
Black Mirror just released some new episodes. I know you guys don't really watch that. I watched the one with Miley Cyrus last night. It was all right.
Did you? All right, well this is the side topics.
Yeah, the side topics. We'll talk about whatever you guys want. So tweet us and we'll. I guess we'll have to start
we'll take
watching
recommendations.
More shows together.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'm going to dive in. I'm diving into Curb right now, which is obviously an old show. There's not many new episodes of Curb, but that's
there's
one
no
of
new episodes of Curb.
There's none?
They did a few new ones.
I thought they just did a new season
ago.
A couple
of
years.
Yeah,
wasn't
I mean,
that
like,
great.
It hasn't been a new one.
Oh, it's
in,
not
like,
consistently
2 years.
New. Yeah, okay, fine.
He just decides when he wants to work.
Right. Yeah. He's like, oh, I need some money, and Larry David writes an episode.
There'll definitely be good shows coming. I mean, there's so many different outlets now that, I mean.
Billions is out there. Succession is out there, or coming out there. Westworld's problem
through.
Is it's just Westworld is a good show, but its problem is it's too damn confusing. Like I can't
good,
like the whole second season I'm not entirely sure what happened, but it was but I can just at the end of the day say that was a good series. It's like The Leftovers. That was a good show.
I thought that show sucked,
but I don't know what happened.
There might be a movie that comes out that we might want to do. If we all go see something big comes out.
Yeah,
sure. Although
yeah,
there really isn't anything.
Lion King coming out. We all grew up with the Lion King.
I did
not.
I grew up with Chernobyl, not the Lion King. But,
on that note, this is fun.
How is it? It's all CGI, but it's considered
real
not
life
a cartoon. Yeah,
life action.
Live action.
Live action. Yeah, I don't know how Lion King's gonna work, but it looks amazing. So I'm excited.
I'm not that excited.
Well, you're just a hater. And you were born in the 70s, so forget you.
What else is coming up? I'm trying to look up.
A lot of
Stranger Things starts in
Stranger
Things.
Yeah,
we can
in July.
But I'd rather like see if we can get something from the beginning. But maybe there's nothing right now.
Yeah, but people will want to talk about that last season once Stranger
Things happens. Yeah,
or the latest. Like, I'm sure it's not the last.
Yeah, for sure.
Are we still recording?
We are. We're still rolling.
Yeah. Who's listening?
This is our. Now you're into the meeting section of the podcast. This is our meeting of what we're going to do next.
I'll take us out for Tom Kelly, Dave Breitmeyer, Andrew Porter. I'm Bill Kornfeld. Thanks
See
for listening.
Later.
This is the Side Topics.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.